In the kitchen, scene 2, Cindy the nanny. The stage is now a combination living room kitchen. Jacob and Beth live in a very proud and humble place, which he had built for his wife before Beth was born. The living room has two single beds, both neatly decorated with oversized pillows and lovely pastel floral coverings. At the end of each bed sits a chest, handsomely carved by Jacob. Each chest has leather straps connected to a gold and silver buckle. Off to the right of the room stands a tired old sofa chair and reading lamp with Jacob's books all neatly on one side. There is also a shuttered window which is open, and from a distance you can see the path to the garden. The kitchen consists of one very old stovetop and pans displayed on the wall. Dishes are neatly stacked on one side, while lovely arrangements of flowers proudly decorate the home. These are all from the garden and all the work of the carpenter's daughter, Beth. In the centre of the kitchen stands the table, made of cedar wood and hand-carved by Jacob. This is also used as a conference table and altogether family table. Cindy the nanny is an outspoken English woman with a witty sense of humour who has cooked and cleaned house for Jacob since the day Beth was born. Cindy tries very hard to be a just mother image by encouraging discipline and order in the household, although her efforts are always surrendered to the phrase, "Well, maybe just this once, but next time we shall see." Aside from her flamboyant personality, Cindy's domestic abilities were known as inadvertently clumsy, and sadly, a bad cook and a thrifty dresser. Although Jacob is aware of Cindy's qualities, he always pays her with supportive compliments. He knows she always gives of her very best. Jacob admires Cindy greatly for caring and staying with him through the years. And, as for Cindy, her reason for staying on this long is personal. It isn't wages or the loss of Jacob's wife. However, over the years, Cindy has fallen in love with Jacob, a secret she keeps to herself. And now Cindy walks to Jacob's house from her home, just the opposite side of the garden. The kitchen, as usual, is in a big mess. Cindy begins mumbling her daily complaints that nothing seems to work out right in that kitchen. She blames everyone but herself. With flour dust on her nose and smoke in the kitchen, she turns to answer the door for Jacob and Beth.
Hello, Cindy.
Well, it's about time. I'm having a disaster in here. Nothing seems to be working right today.
With her hands on her hips.
What we need around here is better equipment or food that doesn't burn so easily.
She returns to the kitchen, mumbling.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Convincing herself.
We definitely need something.
Jacob and Beth make their way to the kitchen table, discreetly laughing, although the giggling is heard by Cindy.
You two better not be making fun of me, or I won't bake any more of my cookies. By the way, what happened to the cookies I made this morning?
Oh, they were cookies.
With her arms crossed.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, I thought they were dog biscuits, so I gave them to Buster, our neighbor's dog.
Embarrassed by Beth's answer.
Beth, you should have asked first.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Well, it's okay. You're forgiven this time, but next time we shall see.
Covering his laughter with his hand and whispers to Beth.
Poor old Buster. Do you think he's okay?
Worried.
I don't know. I haven't seen him all day. Do you think I poisoned him, Bubby?
No.
Seated in their chairs and patiently waiting for their breakfast, they begin to play paddy cakes with their hands. Cindy returns and serves them a bowl of what looks like porridge. In good humour.
Okay, indulge yourselves. It's a meal for the gods. My darlings, this is my very own recipe, and there is plenty more.
Dancing her way back to the kitchen area. Beth looks in her bowl, and with a doubtful expression, she turns to her father to confirm if it is safe to eat. Equally doubtful and with curiosity, Jacob decides to raise the bowl of porridge to his nose and reluctantly smells the porridge. Then, an idea! Jacob turns his bowl upside down. Unexpectedly, the porridge never falls from the bowl. Together, they both look under the bowl to see what is holding the food in place. All the while, preoccupied in the kitchen, Cindy is well into her own problems, cleaning and complaining, unaware of Jacob's food inspection.
Well, I say, let's pour some milk and sugar on it and see what happens.
To their surprise, a success! Everyone is happy as they eat their home-cooked meal. Meanwhile, exhausted, defeated, and entirely intimidated by the settings on the digital microwave, Cindy decides to join Jacob and Beth.
So, I see I'm a hit.
Indeed, very good. Don't lose this recipe.
Yeah, excellent.
On the note of compliments, Cindy is inspired to join in on a bowl of porridge. Although, while eating, the absence of conversation is too much to bear for Cindy as she desperately tries to initiate a conversation.
So, any good jokes?
Brutally hungry with their mouths full, Jacob and Beth both reply with the shaking of heads, answering no. Again, there is a moment of silence and again another attempt to converse. Foiled.
Nice weather we're having.
With his spoon in hand and a mouthful of porridge, Jacob facetiously looks up at the ceiling as if to study the weather and then expeditiously resumes eating. Cindy surrenders with a sigh. However, noticing Cindy's disappointment, Jacob comes to the rescue and initiates Cindy's favourite pastime, gossip.
Oh, yes. I heard Rexella is engaged to be married. However, her fiancé is cursed.
With full attention.
Oh, my. Poor thing.
Yeah, rumor has it that the poor young lad can't produce any children.
You mean he's out of order?
Well, for the time being. That is, of course, the rumor of the day.
Perhaps they were the couple frolicking through the garden the past week or so. Everybody's talking about the shenanigans going on and all that funny mush and stuff, you know.
Well, if they were both wearing smeared lipstick and glowing like bunnies on a holiday, my guess is you're probably right. Back in my day, I would never display such audacious behavior, particularly in public.
Oh, really? I seem to recall a time when I accidentally bumped into a very young couple, back in your day, at a very busy bus stop. In fact, he looked a lot like you.
A diversion to change the subject. Jacob clears his throat, nervously looking at his watch.
Well, I say, it's getting rather late.
Come to think of it, it couldn't possibly have been you, because this man in front of everybody severely ravished his poor, helpless honey with a massive lip lock. It was utterly and entirely inconceivable.
With exaggeration.
Wow, what a man. What's a lip lock?
With a smile of reprisal.
Please, Cindy, since you're so gratuitous with information, go ahead and explain. What's a lip lock?
Ungainly with embarrassment.
Well,
smiling shyly.
I guess you could say it's a form of sign language.
Finishing her porridge, Beth is ready to play outside in the garden.
Bubby, may I please be excused?
Have you had enough to eat?
Boy, did I. Can I go now?
Yes, however, if you're gonna play in the garden, remember the promise we made.
I know. Stay away from that bad bush that took Mummy away.
They hug.
That's my little girl. You remembered. And I'm gonna cut that bush today.
Before Beth leaves the house, she walks over to Cindy for a kiss and a hug. Beth loves Cindy with all her heart and, in her own way, accepts Cindy in place of her natural mother. In fact, over the years, the bond between Cindy and Beth had developed into a mother-daughter relationship. Therefore, Cindy monitors every aspect of Beth's well-being. In the past year, Beth had a kidney removed, leaving her with one kidney in fair condition.
Beth and her secret garden. My, if she brings any more flowers, this place is going to look like Disneyland, or a very peaceful cemetery. By the way, have you heard anything from Dr. Larson about any possible donors?
Last I've heard, more hospitals were conversing daily. So till then, we have to keep our sanity intact.
I'm sorry if I sound like an old worrywart. It's just that I can't help myself. Every time Beth holds me, she fills my heart with love. And I could never stand the thought of losing her.
I understand, Cindy. And you don't have to say you're sorry. Everything will work out. Especially now that Rexella's mother hired me for another 6 months. That should be more than enough to prepare me financially for Beth's operation.
Unexpectedly, there's a knock at the door. Cindy answers. It is Eric and Rexella. As the door opens, you can see Eric standing inside the doorway with his cheeks red from embarrassment. He is wearing a beautiful pink shirt, pink pants, and a lovely bright pair of red shoes. At this point, Rexella pulls her fiancé by the hand, and they make their way through the door entrance. Once inside, she proudly introduces Eric. Cindy greets them with a polite smile and quickly takes note to Eric's attire. Surprised, with a discriminating eye, she responds in a patronizing way.
Hello. My, my, what a lovely shade of fairy blossoms.
Jacob abruptly intercepts.
Welcome. Come on in.
Hello, Cindy. Hello, Jacob. I'd like you to meet my fiancé, Eric.
Hello. What a stunning outfit.
Politely clearing his throat.
Well, it's a pleasure. Please make yourselves comfortable.
Jacob, if you don't mind, I'd like to show Rexella the cooking area. You and Eric can get better acquainted.
Ah, yes, indeed. I would like that very much. Hello, Jacob. Pleasure to meet you. By the way, I've heard so much about you and your daughter, especially about your carpentry work. As Rexella would put it, you have the hand of an artist.
Thank you. It's great hearing a good compliment every now and then. Thank you. So, Eric, when is the wedding day?
Well, hopefully, that is, of course, if everything goes well, we should be married sometime next month. However, there is a slight problem that might change the schedule.
Is there any way I can be of help?
Yes, actually. As a matter of fact, I was told through the grapevine that you have a relative who works as a counselor for an adoption agency. Is that true? If so, I was wondering if and maybe, well, possibly, you know, I mean, if you...
Please, you need not say any more. I know how difficult it must be to ask for help from somebody you hardly know. So let me make it easy for you. I'll call first thing tomorrow morning and get all the information you need. How does that sound?
Excellent. I don't know what to say, but thank you. Thank you very much.
Eric shakes Jacob's hand.
I'm glad I could be of help, although I'm a bit puzzled.
Perhaps I should explain. It's like this, really. Not too many people know this about me, but I can't produce children, and I haven't set Rexella. By the way, that's why I'm dressed like this.
Posing in a flamboyant fashion.
As you can see, I'm pacifying Rexella's theory that pink would help influence my seed to produce a little girl. I say, that woman's brutal. Also, I'm not really quite sure what she's going to do when I break the news, Jacob. That's why I'm asking you about the adoption agency.
I understand. Well, it sounds like a good backup plan, but then again, Rexella seems to be a very understanding woman. Either way, the sooner you tell her, the better. Trust me, the longer you wait, the more severe your punishment will be. Besides, wearing pink could create a reputation you don't want.
Indeed, you're absolutely right, Jacob.
Smiling.
However, I find it so difficult for me to look into her big, beautiful eyes, because then all I want to do is make her happy. She makes me want to be a better man. Although, and sadly, the coward in me somehow always wins.
Let's be positive. After all, love conquers all, right?
Cindy and Rexella approach the table. Rexella sits comfortably beside Eric, while Cindy offers refreshments.
Tea and cookies, anyone?
In a discreet manner, Jacob begins to clear his throat, along with several attempts to caution Eric and Rexella to pass on the cookies. Rexella, catching Jacob's warning, replies politely, with a friendly smile.
Perhaps some tea for both of us would be nice.
Okay, tea for two.
However, Cindy inadvertently caught Jacob's warning signs and in return playfully whacked Jacob on the head, scratching his head.
Wow! Some days you just can't get away with anything. By the way, Eric, where are you planning to be married?
Right, Switzerland for a quickie, and they're going to fly up to the United States of America for one of those fancy romantic honeymoons with my true love.
Looking at Eric with a loving smile.
Yes, we're going to have a glorious time and be ready for the big surprise when we get back.
Surprise?
Why, yes. We're planning to have a baby girl.
Overhearing baby girl while pouring tea, Cindy clears her throat, looking at Jacob with a mischievous smile and replies.
Did I hear baby girl? That would be a nice surprise.
Jacob, what is that adorable little girl of yours?
Oh, Beth's outside working on her garden, as usual.
Remembering the damage to the garden.
Good Lord, Jacob, I stopped two young lads in the middle of destroying the garden.
Drexella.
Poor Beth. If she sees the garden in its damaged condition, I'm certain she will be devastated.
With concern.
I'd better go see if she's all right.
They all leave the stage except Cindy. Cindy stays behind in case Beth detours from her route and misses her father on the way home. Worried over the slightest matters, Cindy paces the kitchen floor talking to herself.
Why? Why do I worry so much? Look at me.
She looks at her trembling hands.
Why can't I just be a nanny and go on with my daily routine without any worries? But no, I worry like a mother. I feel like a mother, yet Beth isn't even my child. Who am I kidding? I love her too much.
Realizing her behavior.
Look at me, I'm like a crazy woman talking to myself. I must be mad. And the truth is, I love Beth as much as I love Jacob. Funny, I know it's foolish of me to feel this way, but I often wonder how it would be if I were the mother and the wife.
Realizing her behavior.
Listen to me. Who am I kidding? Who could possibly desire a woman with my qualities? I cook like a mad scientist and I dress like a scarecrow without a brain.
Cindy begins to sing, If Only I Were the One.
If I could have my wish come true, I dream to
As the song comes to an end, the door slowly opens and Beth enters the room. Sad and depressed, with her yellow bucket and shovel in hand, she makes her way to the kitchen table. Cindy now approaches Beth to comfort her.
I heard what happened to your garden. Oh, please don't look so sad, love. A garden can be repaired, and I will help you first thing tomorrow morning. How does that sound?
With a small pout.
Okay, but you have to be there in the early morning.
I'll be there before the early bird catches the worm, and we'll bring back the beautiful flowers that put a smile on my little girl's face.
They hug. Jacob arrives from the garden with dirty hands and clothes. He makes his way over to Beth while Cindy decides to leave for the day. Thereafter, Jacob attempts to comfort Beth with silly humor.
Now, let me see.
Playing with his hands as he begins to count his fingers.
One and one make two. Two and two and two make three. Yeah.
With a proud smile.
I still got it.
Responding with a slight smile and thinking of the garden.
Bobby, I can't figure it out.
I know, Princess. Sometimes people can be so cruel. But everything is okay now. Eric and Rexella helped me repair the picket fence, and we filled all the potholes. Rexella even gathered all the broken flowers and watered down the whole flower patch for you.
Bobby, Why my garden?
I honestly don't know. Although, talking to Eric, there were two young boys from the town of Timbrick. How they managed to cross the river and on their own, I'm not really sure. Regardless, they won't be coming around here for a while. According to Eric, he gave them both a good scare.
Oh, good. I hope they never come back. Bubby, who is Eric?
Oh, that's right. You haven't met Eric. He's a very funny man, especially in that strange outfit he wore today. He is Rexella's fiance. Remember? She's the lady I work for. Oh, by the way, Buster, the neighbor's dog, was in the garden giving Eric a terrible time.
What happened?
Every time Eric covered a hole, frustrated Buster dug up another. What made it funnier, the poor dog was trying to bury Cindy's cookies.
They both begin to laugh when suddenly Beth lets out a painful cry with her hand up against the pane.
Ow! Oh, Bubby, it hurts.
Oh, no.
It hurts.
Stay still and don't move.
Calling the doctor's office.
Hello? I have an emergency. Please let me speak to Dr. Lawson.
Nervous and worried, Jacob paces the floor. He had been told by the doctor that if or when Beth should have another attack of pain, she would have to be admitted to the hospital for surgery.
Oh, Bubby, I'm scared.
It's okay, honey. Everything is going to be okay. Just stay still.
On the phone.
Hello, Dr. Lawson? It's Jacob, Beth's father. Beth's having pains again. What should I do? Okay. Yes? Okay. And thank you, Dr. Lawson. Goodbye.
Rushing to the kitchen shelf for a painkiller and a glass of water.
Here, Beth. Take these now till Dr. Lawson arrives.
Worried and frightened.
I'm not going to die, am I?
Well, of course not, my princess.
He hugs Beth and covers her with a blanket.
This is a very common condition today, and it can be cured right away.